The benefits of home gardening extend beyond merely serving as a diversion from the pandemic. In this B-side episode, I speak with Maria Elena P. Van Turin, Executive Director of East West Seed Foundation, on home gardening, the types of vegetables to grow in tropical countries, and tips for budding urban gardeners. Now let's move on to the meat of our conversation, which is about home gardening in the urban setting. First of all, what are the benefits of growing one's vegetables?
Oh, there are so many benefits from growing your own vegetables. Among them, food security for your family, the availability, accessibility, and affordability of vegetables for your family. If grown naturally, you're also assuring your family of quality, healthy food. And this is passive income, lowering your family food expenses. Gardening is also a healthy exercise, both physically and mentally. I believe it brings out our loving and caring nature. You mentioned earlier that so many plantitos and plantitas started during the pandemic. And I believe once you get started, you will continue, provided you still have the time, because before we were confined to our homes. But now I believe if you can still do it, you still give it some time, you will continue because you will have enjoyed it so much.
And also, you mentioned quality, and I read somewhere that there are vegetables such as tomatoes that when you pluck them from the ground, they immediately lose some of their nutrients, something like that. So the longer it takes to for these produce to travel, the more the nutrients are lost. Is that accurate?
Yes, of course. The moment you remove the fruit from the plant, it immediately starts the aging cycle. It can be very technical. But anyway, you will notice if you are eating newly harvested fruit or vegetables that it is sweeter normally. And there is it tastes so much better. So once you get used to that, you will be disappointed when you eat commercial produce where you don't know how long it took to reach you.
So it sounds to me that farm to table is the best sort of arrangement, right?
Yeah, the best if you can manage it.
And is it realistic to meet all of one's vegetable requirements in an urban garden?
Well, of course, it depends on your space. No? My estimate is that to feed a family of five sufficiently will take 50 square meters. Well, that will also have some extra if you're really working in. So urban or rural, do you have 50 square meters? If not, then you will only be able to plant to augment your vegetable requirements, but not completely fill it up.
Okay, this leads me to my next question. What is the best garden type for urban settings? Is it vertical gardening or hydroponics or container gardening? What do you think?
Well, of course, if you don't have the land space, then you have to go into container gardens. In container gardens, there are a lot of varieties of container gardens, or like you said, vertical gardens and hydroponics. But in all of this, what is important to remember is that the plants get enough sunlight, at least 4 hours for the leafy vegetables and 6 to 8 hours for fruiting vegetables. Also, you can grow leafy vegetables in small containers, but fruiting vegetables need larger containers, around 5 gallons, like the ones used in water dispensers. That can be a good guide for the fruiting vegetables. Even hydroponics, of course, if you're growing leafy vegetables, which is the more common, leafy vegetables in hydroponic style, those leafy vegetables will still need sunlight.
Thank you for sharing that information. It sounds like sunlight is an integral part of this endeavor. Now, apart from getting enough sunlight, what are the other top challenges of urban gardening?
There are certain what we call non-negotiables for growing vegetables, and that is sun, soil, and water. Like I mentioned, the sunlight, a lot of people don't realize how important it is for the health of your plant. Soil has to be loose but firm. Now, in the Philippines, our soil is mostly clay. So it's best if you add amendments or you amend it to make it more, to loosen it up. Now, in most cases, the soil has has to be mixed. One is to loosen it and or provide nutrition. So amendments like compost, sand, carbonized rice hull, vermicast. The other is water. The plant should be moist but not wet. And this is one tip, don't water after 4 p.m. After this three, we can look to ensure nutrition for the plant.
Okay. I'm just curious because I don't know the answer. Why can't we water plants after 4 p.m.?
That's because the water then, if you water later than 4 p.m., the soil will be moist or very moist overnight. And that will encourage disease, especially fungus. So if you just avoid watering after 4 p.m., you are already lessening the possibility of your plant disease.
Okay. And is this for all plants or is this just for vegetables and fruits?
Well, I'm sure for vegetables and fruits, but probably a good idea for all plants. There will be some changes. Some plants you shouldn't even water at all in the afternoon, for example. No? But in general, this is a good tip to remember.
Now, you also mentioned the quality of the soil, and I was planning to ask you that. So I have two follow-up questions. My first question is, how do you know if the quality of the soil is good?
You have to go for loose soil. So you can see that already. If it is compacting, that's not good. So when it's compacting, you have to think about what you can do to loosen it more. Like I said, you can put compost. If you are planting at home, it's good to be to making compost from your kitchen scraps. That's always a good practice. And then you can feed the compost into or mix the compost into the plant soil. So many things can loosen the soil, even rice hull, even sand. But make sure it's river sand, not from the sea. Then coco coir, it's a pretty standard amendment. See, so a lot of people don't know that you have to amend the soil as a rule in the Philippines because our soil is too clayey, so it sticks together too much and the roots cannot, they have a difficulty growing. Now the roots have difficulty spreading out. Also, they have difficulty gathering nutrition. So make sure you have good loose soil, no? Because without that, you're really not set up for a good experience. We even suggest you sterilize the soil to remove any pathogens so that it's like a healthy environment. And it's not difficult to sterilize, especially for containers, because, of course, it's a small quantity. You can just put it in a black plastic bag, your mix, no? Na mix na. Put it in a black plastic bag and put it under the sun for at least 4 hours. And that in that way, you can assure yourself that there is no disease lurking in the soil.
So what I'm hearing is that even if the soil you bought is of poor quality, you can actually improve that by amending it with compost or sand river or vermicast, and then also putting that soil beforehand in black plastic bag and having it exposed to the sun for 4 hours. That would help.
Yes, that will give a good environment for your plant.
And I also want to talk about those other challenges. Like, for instance, how about people who live in high altitudes like condominiums? Because I know people who live in condominiums that are up at the 30th floor and above, and they say that even snake plants, which are known to be hardy plants, have a hard time living in such an environment. So for those who live in condominiums, is it possible for them to grow any sort of vegetables or plants, or, you know, what do you think?
Well, I live in a condominium and I am growing some.
Which floor, Paul? Which floor?
But I'm at the low floor.
Okay.
So I can grow, but outside the two windows. But I have a balcony. That's the advantage. If you're in a condo without a balcony, then if you're growing indoor, you really have to make sure that the plants get enough sunlight. Because like we discussed earlier, sunlight is so important for the health of the plant. Now, you can, but I think that would be, of course, limited to smaller plants, no? You might not. Just the leafy out. Herbs are very good. If you live in a condo and you have a window that gets sunlight, because herbs need less sunlight. On the height, I'm not so sure about that. Because after all, we are growing vegetables in Baguio, which is a very high altitude. But maybe because the plant has to be adjusted to the height. You know, it's like if you buy all these beautiful ornamentals from Baguio, you know, and then you bring them to Metro Manila, they don't prosper because there's an adjustment to the temperature and maybe the altitude. But if you adjust them slowly, they may survive.
I ask what types of vegetables or plants you grow in your balcony.
Oh, I grow herbs mostly, no? Because it's so nice that when you're cooking that you have the herbs available and you don't know when you will need it. So, yeah, I have green onions and I also have pechay. Oh, I planted arugula one time, a big success in the balcony. Yes, and I have what I call a forever pot of ginger and turmeric, luyang dilaw, because you never know when you will need that, and it's you only use a little bit. So that ginger, I call it a forever pot because it's just there. And every time I need ginger, I just dig around in the pot, look for a piece or cut off a piece and leave the rest. And it just continues to grow. So yeah, that's a very good tip also for people who like to cook with ginger. Because ginger, if you put it in your ref or leave it in the kitchen, it will shrivel up and dry. I found out if you put it in soil, it stays fresh. And if you don't touch it for a while, it even starts growing. So you will have more ginger. Yeah. And it doesn't seem to mind if you cut off little bits once in a while. It just leave the rest and it will continue to grow.
All right. So talking more about planting here in the Philippines, what do you think are the ideal vegetables to grow in a tropical country like the Philippines?
Well, all east-west seed varieties are developed for the Philippines or for the tropical weather. That is our segment, if you like. What you may have to take into consideration more is the elevation of the planting area. Like we mentioned earlier, maybe the elevation will have more to do with it because some vegetables prosper in cooler climates, even within the Philippines. The low and mid elevation for the pinakbe type of vegetables and mid to high elevation for the what we call Baguio type of vegetables. So most seeds being sold in the market are suited for the Philippines, but you have to consider whether your planting area is in the very hot area or cooler area.
Let's say you live in Metro Manila. You live in one of the subdivisions of Metro Manila. And let's say you have a backyard lot dedicated for vegetable planting that's around, let's say, 20 square meters, something like that. What can you plant there?
I would say, what does your family like to eat?
Okay. Because, you know, personally speaking, we have a backyard. And in our backyard, we have malunggay, also known as moringa. And we have calamansi. They're very easy to plant and they just grow, especially malunggay. And, you know, whenever we need, you know, whenever we cook something for lunch and we need a vegetable dish, what we do is we just pluck malunggay from our backyard garden. And what we usually do is we get the younger leaves because the more mature leaves are already bitter. So, yeah, I mean, apart from malunggay, is there anything else that, you know, let's say for growing families, for families with kids in the elementary school, what would you recommend they plant in a small urban plot?
Well, I would go first for the leafy also, pechay, bok choy, kangkong, because those are very nutritious vis-a-vis the space they need. But of course, it's also more exciting to plant a fruiting vegetable and watch it grow. It may take some time, but the process is also very interesting. And for children to observe this, I think it's very good. I would go for what children like to eat. Tomato, maybe. Whatever they seem to prefer. For the fruiting, actually what you said, calamansi, that is very practical because you never know when you need one. And moringa is also very good because, you know, moringa is one of the most nutritious leaves that you can consume. I actually take some in a fruit shake every morning, but I mix it with a lot of other fruits. So, yes, that would be what you would call efficient to have the most nutritious leaves available when you need it.
And you mentioned that the seeds that are sold here in the Philippines are the seeds that are ideal for tropical countries. My question is, where can we buy good quality seeds? Because sometimes I see vegetable and fruit seeds being sold in major supermarkets. Are those okay?
Yes, yes. As long as they are in the original pack, then you are assured that it's still viable. Of course, you have to check the expiration date. Those seed packs in the supermarket will have expiration dates. And the seed industry is regulated. So you can be assured that those seeds in the original packing are quality seeds. But you need good storage for seeds because to maintain their viability or the germination, the seed packs will contain a germination rate as well, a guaranteed germination. For example, Easter seed guarantees 87%. So, which is why we also suggest when you plant, it is only one seed per hole or one seed per pot because it has a very high germination rate. When I see people flinging a whole bunch of seeds into a container of soil, you know, I feel so sad. You're throwing away money.
I think people do that because they want to assure a high success rate. Like, for instance, if this seed doesn't grow, then at least I put two other seeds.
Yes. No, I think it's also if you are using seeds that were not sold commercially, you're using seeds from the fruit that you ate, from the vegetable that you ate, then you don't know the germination rate. So a lot of people, yes, they fling a lot of seeds of these seeds into a pot and then just select the ones that grow well. The problem then for me is separating the seedlings properly, because if you harm the roots, then you're already making it more difficult for the plant to grow well.
So you need TLC when handling these seeds.
Yes. That's the main ingredient for a successful home garden is the TLC you give to your plants.
And my last question is, what are your top tips for aspiring urban gardeners? So let's say, you know, a growing family who would like to take a stab at growing one or two key vegetables in their extra plot of land. So what are your top tips for them?
Well, we just said TLC, you have to love your plants. The care you give to your plants, no, will give you a good result. So this care means you have to ensure enough sunlight, good soil, and water. I mentioned sunlight earlier. And we already discussed soil a bit. For watering, we discussed it as well. The plant should be moist, not wet, and don't water after 4 p.m. Then we can look to ensure nutrition for the plant, feeding the plants with what it needs to grow. Like people, plants need food to grow and give back more food. Like people, plants thrive best in a caring environment.
So I think one last element that we need when it comes to taking care of plants is time, right? You have to give it, you have to commit to it and like set aside time in your schedule to care for the plants in your garden.
Yes, but you can do this watering. You can do the watering in the morning early before you start your work. And like I said, you shouldn't water anyway at night. And then take care of them. The extra care can be done on weekends. I think that is a workable arrangement. Of course, you say 20 square meters, that's not so large. So it's not so hard, not so much work. And you have to find what is workable for you.
I don't have any other questions, Ms. Banturin. Is there anything else you would like to share to our audience?
Well, I really want to encourage everyone to grow, to plant, even one pot, because once you start with one pot, I'm sure you will go to two or three pots and continue your gardening, because it is such a happy activity when you work on your plants. Of course, you say if they're growing well, what if they die, then it's not so happy. But there are techniques that you have to know, like the ones, some of which I've shared now today. And if you have the opportunity to view some learning videos, that would be very helpful.
Availability, accessibility, and affordability are some of the benefits of growing your own vegetables, according to Ms. Banturin. She said caring for a small garden plot is doable, even with small children and a busy schedule. Aspiring home gardeners just need to figure out a routine that works for them. This has been another episode of B-Side. Subscribe now and enjoy a new episode every week.